super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Despite being in an internment camp because of her Asian heritage at a very young age, she persevered and went to Hollywood, first as a model for silent film star Harold Lloyd. She became an exotic dancer, keyword exotic, because Tura would never lower herself to a mere stripper. She was a performer and a professional, and she even caught the eye of the king himself, Elvis. Prior to Pussycat, she was in Irma La Douce in 1963 with Jack Lemmon. She was also in a couple of TV shows in the 60s like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Burke's Law. Then she hooked up with director Ted Michaels for Astro Zombies, a doll squad. She also appeared in Our Man Flint. Then with the advent of home video, Tura was rediscovered by a new generation of fans. Songs were written about her. A band took the name of Faster Pussycat, and Tura started appearing at conventions to meet her legion of fans. I was lucky enough to meet her in the early days of Chiller Theater. She was gracious to me, the fans, and the staff, and she truly enjoyed being there, and we loved having Varla at the show. She reunited with Ted Michaels for Mark of the Astro Zombies. She was the voice of Varla in Rob Zombie's animated Haunted World of Super Beasto, and again returned with Ted's Astro Zombies MP3 Cloned. She owned her own likeness and image, and when Russ Meyer released Pussycat with different artwork, he had to pay Tura again. Tonight we celebrate the life of Tura, and we are joined by another legend, the man who directed her in the Astro Zombies, the Doll Squad, and Mark of the Astro Zombies, and Astro Zombies MP3 Cloned, Ted Michaels. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Well, hi, Pete, and Todd. Nice to talk. Nice to be on the show again. And I have to correct you, Pete. It's not MP3. That's a computer terminology. It's Astro Zombies M3 Cloned.
There you go.
Okay, I stand corrected. I was never great at technology.
And of course, now we're working on Astro Zombies M4, Invaders from Cyberspace. And Tura promised she'd be with us on that. And she will be, if in hologram and flashbacks. But she'll be with us on M4 also. That makes five movies. Of her four movies that she has done, full-length features, of the five, four of them were for me, which I appreciate much. She was very dear.
Awesome. She's incredible. You know, I'll tell you something funny. The first, we have a brand new studio I had to build here, and with the help of some great people, Tim and Amanda and Julie and everybody pulled together to help me here, and Griff came in, and it was great. We worked on the studio, and we got it all together, and the first poster I put on the wall was Tura Sultana, Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill.
Yes.
That's where she really made her mark as far as, you know, being a cult film icon, because I really don't think, you know, you guys can correct me if you want that, I don't think there was any women as powerful as she was as Varla in that film. And I honestly think that she set the bar for all the strong, you know, strong performances for women in grindhouse films and in mainstream films for, you know, years to come.
Well, I think the mainstream ones that she did were in my movies. But I had to change her persona in taking her from Faster Pussycat into Astro Zombies. So we spent a lot of time discussing altering her voice with the... I wanted a different. I wanted an Asian dragon lady. And that was that was a stretch. And we spent a lot of time changing her persona from what she was in Varla. She never lost it, of course. But in the Astro Zombies, she's tough as nails.
Exactly.
Tough as nails.
Yep. I tell you, the thing with me that got me was the way she delivered the dialogue in Faster Pussycat. I think at the time, no one was delivering dialogue like that. She was delivering dialogue that you normally heard from male actors, from men, and the snappiness of it and the timing of it and the way she threw those words out. I mean, it's inspired so many of us. You know, like Pete said earlier, it inspired us to write songs. I've written songs about her. I know other people have too. And it's because of the fact that she did come in at a time. And we got to credit Russ Meyer as well for giving strong characters to women at the time. A lot of people thought he was, you know, just a blue movie maker or whatever they called it at the time, but he was really opening a lot of doorways for a lot of people, and she was right there. And together, it's sad to me because I think that movie should be everywhere right now. It should be on Blu-ray. It should be everywhere on every television network, everywhere, because it's really influential.
Well, you know, Russ wanted to keep his movies to himself and be his own distributor.
Yeah.
And that's true. Maybe I would have been smarter to follow what Russ did, because anytime you wanted to buy one of Russ's movies, he kept the full price up there, sometimes $89, $79. He kept it there. And
that's
with
true.
The rest of us. Now, when VHS first came out, they had my movies at $79 and $89. That was in. That's too much money. Good Lord, you know, way too much. And, of course, Russ kept his prices there, where other distributors would drop our prices at our request so we would have more people buying them.
Right. And, you know, but today the problem is with Russ gone and his estate being handled by other people, I wish they would maybe license those to somebody or something, because they themselves aren't getting them in stores. That's the problem. I've had to go through such a hard time to get these movies on DVD. I mean, sometimes I had to even go overseas or whatever I had to get, because you just can't get them. It's so hard. And I know they put them out. I bought some of them there with Eric Caden at Hollywood Book and Poster. And I remember, you know, walking in, and I was like so excited because they were there. But it's so hard to find.
Well, you know, there is a problem there. Anytime you make a movie, it's like the mousetrap. You build a better mousetrap, the world doesn't find the way to your mousetrap. You have to lead them there.
So how did you originally meet Tara?
Actually, I saw her dancing at the Silver Slipper in 1957, I was flying with, or was it 58, right in there. I was flying with three of my buddies out of Bend, Oregon at the time, where I was making my movies. And I went into the, was it the Stardust? Anyway, I went into the Silver Slipper and saw her dancing. And then I did not meet her until an agent sent her to my office a number of years later, which is when I used her in the Astro Zombies. And the agent sent her in along with other people, and she was such a delight. And we became good friends immediately, and that's from that time on. We were talking about changing her. I didn't want her to be, as I call, a leather glove tough, which is great, you know, but she had already done that. And then this one, I wanted her a dragon lady. And so we spent a lot of time working on developing that character. And then she followed through with that character in M3. But then as a hologram, and then also in flashbacks. But in Doll Squad, you know, when you've got a number of girls, I think we started out with 8, they don't all have the big parts. They all have lines. They all have their part in the play, in the movie. But you can't spend that much time with any one. And then, of course, in that one, Francine York was our principal star. She had the name and the following, and she had been in so many big Irwin Allen movies and so on. She'd been in the big mainstream movies, so she was our female star. But then along with Tura, Sherry Vernon, a bunch of other people, Lee Christian, there were a number of outstanding females in that movie, but again, we couldn't really develop their character as you would if it were a 3-girl or a 2-girl movie, because this was 8 girls, so you're limited to how much time you spend with one. But she developed her big following, Tura, after that time. That's when her big following came on, after 73. She had a following before that, but it developed and steamrolled after that.
Now, Ted, here's my question too. I know she did quite a few movies. She like Peter mentioned, she did television, but then she kind of backed away from movies and TV. And I always wondered why, because I always felt, as a fan of her work and as someone who really looked up to her, how different she was. I always felt like she should be in everything, you know. And there were so many movies out there that I kind of thought, man, that part was made for Tara Sutana. Where's she at? And what kind of happened there? Do you kind of know why she kind of pulled back?
I don't think she pulled back. She was eager to work and eager, but I think her persona again was a little bit unusual for these other. Again, I repeat, these TV shows were different. It's not as if she were playing the part like in Varla, or like in Doll Squad, or any of the others. She in those TV shows and so on, every part was more fleeting. They're in for a moment or two or whatever, whereas in a full-length feature film, they're in for the show, all 80, 90, or 100 minutes of it. And that makes a difference. So I think she was out there to have the parts, but she was very strong. She was such a strong presence that I think it probably limited her a little bit as far as the mainstream movies were concerned. She really chose a category for herself to participate in, and that's where she was the strongest. And those kind of parts don't come along very often.
Yeah, because that was like an anomaly back in the 60s as Varla, and I don't think it picked up again until they started doing the stuff with like Pam Grier and then to a certain extent Diane Thorne. Then you had Laura Gemser out of Indonesia was doing all the Italian stuff. You know, I think, you know, that's when it sort of like really it clicked in like the mid-70s where the women were getting the real tough parts.
I always hear about Doll Squad, and people said I should have made Tura tougher in Doll Squad, made her more of the kick-ass broad that she's known to be. But again, it evens out, and unless you have material that is written directly for the character, that particular person, and the presence that person has, and again, her real fan base began to develop well after the mid-70s, and if it had developed sooner, then there would have been more people like me that would have carried on the type of part that she did in Varla. I didn't see Faster Pussycat for a long time, but when I met her, I said, well, there's Varla. And anyway, she was a delight to work with. She was a delight to have on the set. She made everybody feel good. She was friendly with everyone, and she didn't, put on a better-than-thou attitude. If somebody needed help, she'd jump in and help. She was a trooper.
Yeah, I know. I just can't believe it. I remember, I think you had come out to one of the Chiller conventions with her, and We were talking, we were getting friendly, and then we were taking a picture, and people asked me why I had that weird look on my face, because she had me in a chokehold, and I said, well, my feet weren't touching the ground in that picture, because she literally lifted me off the ground by my throat.
Well, she was strong, that's for sure, very strong.
And I'm a good 200, 220 on any given day. So yeah, actually I think she gave me an extra inch to my neck by popping it.
Well, she's known for that. She was tough.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. She was going, oh, you know, next time I'll come back with Heiji and we'll put you through a table. And I'm like, don't think so.
Yeah, she enjoyed that sort of thing. She really did. And she was on the set always so easy, so nice to work with. No question about it. We missed her.
Yeah,
in
no,
Mark of the Astro Zombies... I'm trying to think of which. Let's see. In mine, she was in The Astro Zombies, Doll Squad, Mark of the Astro Zombies, Astro Zombies M3 cloned. That's the four. Then she'll be in the fifth one as a hologram and flashbacks from to the original Astro Zombies in this movie. But again, M4 is a different type of a movie. It's not about... strong women or strong men, or it's about astro zombies that are trying to get off of their planet because their planet's going to be destroyed by an asteroid that's traveling jillions of miles an hour and is going to obliterate them. So they're trying to find their place here on Earth. So everything is going to be super technology. We'll be going into everything from string theories to good Lord, you name it. We're trying to be ahead of whatever is out there now. We hope to be so far in advance that people are going to say, wow, what are stringers? What is fractal technology? What is that? But we want to introduce it all. And, of course, now that they anticipate that human life will continue forever around the time of 2040, we're incorporating that into the movie. Robots will be smarter, not robots, but computers will be smarter than we as humans, where they begin to take over everything. They create cures for people who are ill. They're impossible to imagine right now, but they're saying by 2040 there won't even be any more deaths. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So, anyway, that's the sort of thing that we're introducing. More than a character development is going to be a development in the direction of new technology on Astro Zombies M4.
Hey, if anybody wants to call in, you know, any memory, you know, reminiscence of terror, or just want to ask any questions here, the call-in number is 310-928-7857. So,
I was going to say, you know, Tura, I think, was in surprise, you know, from what I gathered. You know, she was going to be on Night Watch in March, hopefully. We were working that out, and everything, you know, was gearing up for that for me because it was going to be a big birthday deal because that's my birthday's in March, and I was really excited to have Tura on. And we had tried a couple of times and just couldn't click that schedule because she was doing so many appearances and so much to meet the fans. And from what I gathered, it was just really exciting for her to find out, you know, because earlier on, you know, we were talking on the other show earlier on, Ted, when we were, you know, younger and for me, when I was a kid and I was watching movies at the drive-in like Astro Zombies, you know, there was no way for me to reach out and meet you. And so you were an inspiration to us, but we couldn't tell you that because there weren't conventions really then. There was Famous Monsters, you know, that was kind of happening, but not much else. There was no internet. There was no way to touch our idols. And we couldn't go to Tura and say, you know, you're the greatest thing ever. So the fact that this opened up and she was able to meet so many fans, it really seemed like an eye-opening thing for her and something that also was something she really loved. She really loved the people.
Well, yes, she did. She loved her fans, and she had that unique ability to play up to the fans, to be very friendly, warm. I don't think she ever turned down a warm hand shaking hands and acquaintance. She was absolutely an outgoing and warm, giving person. Strangely enough, the persona that she presented it that gets so many fans to think so dearly of her, she deep inside was really a very soft-hearted, very tender lady, tender woman.
Yeah, she was an animal lover, too. I know that.
Oh, yes, yes. She's very tender and very warm-hearted. But again, the fans liked her her presence as a toughie, and that seemed to be more what she's known for.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
The Shaman's Brew. Start your life's adventure now. The Shaman's Brew with Marcus Leader. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central, right here on Jackalope Radio. View the world through the eyes of a true Toltec shaman. Join Marcus Leader on The Shaman's Brew. Don't you wait another minute. The Shaman's Brew with Marcus Leader.
Jackalope Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with 42nd Street Pete and our good buddy Ted V. Michaels talking about Tura Satana, and we are back live. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I don't know where I left off. All of a sudden, I was talking to dead air.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird.
Me well, too, Pete. I was talking to you too, and I thought, wow, I don't think you heard anything I said. What I was talking about is the tender, warm-hearted side of Tura that most people who only know her from Astro Zombies or as Varla, they don't know that she had that warm, tender side, that loving, giving side. Totally the opposite of what she portrayed very often.
Yeah, and then, you know, I remember reading that she had a real rough time growing up, that I guess she was put in the Japanese internment camp during World War II. She was Asian heritage.
Well, you know, I knew her father quite well. I knew her mother very well. I know her sisters. They're not all with us at this time. I think two if she's lost. But I know her brother Peter. And, of course, Kalani, her daughter, I know very well. Kalani may even be calling in here. But I've known, of course, Kalani since she was not an infant, but when she was six or seven. And Jade, the daughter Jade, and so on. So I know the family very well. In any event, you'll have to, if there are other things that you'd like to ask, go ahead and shoot. Otherwise, I'll just keep my mouth shut and listen on the phone here.
No, we love having you here. As a matter of fact, we want to definitely pick your brain about this subject because
because you directed her more than anybody else. You were a close friend, so you have the more intimate knowledge of her than we have. You know, we know her from meeting her at conventions, clowning around, stuff like that. Then of course her screen persona, which is totally different than her real persona. So
right, absolutely.
How did she interact with John Carradine when you were doing the Astro Zombies?
he always made his comment, like, if I were 30 years younger, I'd be chasing you, stuff like that.
Yeah,
he was delighted to have that acquaintance and to work together with her. And, of course, in the scenes in the ending where everybody gets shot, John Carradine gets shot, she shoots everybody, and then she shoots at an Astro Zombie who he won't go down, so he grabs her and shoves her into that fire. Actually, it was a high-powered, high-amperage electronic system there, electric system that fried her in the original.
Yep.
The second, in Doll Squad, of course, she got to live.
Pete, we have a caller here. You're okay. Live on the air with 42nd Street Pete and Ted V. Michaels.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Ted. It's Jade.
Oh, hi, Jade.
Hi, Jade. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good. We just mentioned your name, and here you are.
I heard that. That's why I called.
Wow, it is an honor to have you on the show, an absolute honor.
Well, yes, it is. Thank you so much. That's the sweetest thing.
We really loved your mom. I mean, she was great.
She was great. And, you know, there's been such an outpouring of love since she passed, and postings on the internet are just been very positive, just very few negative things, and it's just been so heartwarming, and it's made this really rough time a lot easier.
Yeah, there's no way to convey how shocked, and upset we all are. And, speaking for, the whole Grindhouse community that listens to this show, she was one of our all-time favorites. And I had the privilege of meeting her at several conventions over the last few years. And, we were always cool and joking around and stuff. And, through Ted, I had met her. So it's just a great, great loss. Words just can't convey how sorry I feel.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know what? We say she's passed, but she really hasn't. In a way, she's in our minds and our hearts and our visual memories and our recall of where we've seen her and met her and enjoyed her and so on. So it seems to be a bit different when many people pass, they're gone. And sorry to say, many are just forgotten. She will not be forgotten for a long time.
No, not at all.
That's just a wonderful legacy that she left, And it's hard to describe. I mean, I was listening to Ted talk about the different kind of person she was aside from the characters that she portrayed. And, from personal experience, I have an autistic son who she absolutely adored. She always rooted for the underdog,
Yes.
So, she was very, very protective of all of my kids, but especially my oldest, because he couldn't defend himself. And that's just the kind of lady she was.
I don't know if you'd heard earlier, Jade. I was talking about the first poster I put in our new studio was Faster Pussycat Kill Kill with your mom, and it has her in three different poses on it. It's just an amazing poster. And not only do I love it for the fact that I love the movie and I love her character, but I love the fact that when this poster came out and that era that she was in, she was a true leader, and And I don't think people realize at that time that there were no parts like this for female leads. And thanks to her partnership with Russ Meyer and, of course, working with Ted, she really showed people, other actresses, that, yeah, you can play the Charles Bronson or the Clint Eastwood part, and you can still be sexy and feminine and soft, but also have that edge. And that's what was great about her. She showed all of that without effort, it seemed, you know?
Go ahead. One of our listeners, Tim from down in Korea, said he's got a little website. He had a, this is a quote, if I can steal it from you, Tim, because I'm going to steal it from you because you can't stop me. He said, basically, she drew a line in the desert sand and nobody dared cross it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's very true. Good.
Yeah,
and it's true.
She's very strong that way.
There's been a lot that have come out. I'm sorry, Ted.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jade.
I said there's a lot that have come after, but she was the first in the original. So, you know, that's why she'll always be remembered.
Yeah, she set the bar. It's like, you know, we were talking, you know, about, you know, how she wasn't getting any parts up to a certain point because really there was, you know, nobody was writing like that back then. But she was the template that everybody, you know, looked to, you know, as far as that type of thing.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of men are afraid of a strong woman. And over the years past, when I have been asked about that, I said, are you kidding? They're to be much admired and not put down as the weaker sex. They're not. They're very powerful. And a woman, even in her mind, let alone her body and shape and figure and physical abilities, in her mind alone, they're very powerful, and she kind of joined both to what I did.
It's true. It's true. She.
I agree.
Now, Jade, is there something you'd like people out there listening, all of our friends across the world listening? This is a worldwide broadcast. What, you know, and also we're going to archive it. What would you like them to know about your mom? Something that they may not know?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things. But I think
say,
the one thing, I think the one thing I would like people to most remember is her heart. She had the most generous, giving heart. She loved her fans. She loved her family. And it's what made her her. She was just so generous with her time, with her, you know, anything she could do for you. She was the kind of lady that would give you the shirt off her back if you asked for it. So that's what I'd like folks to remember.
And I vouch for that is absolutely true, Jade.
Do you have any, Ted, do you have any anecdotes, any funny stories from the set maybe you could share with us?
Well, the funny thing on the set, she could be so serious, and then if something would go wrong, she'd smile and laugh at it, like when in the Astro Zombie she's firing the pistol with the silencer on the end. And, of course, you know, me and my budgets, I had created a silencer out of a plastic tube from a toy gun and taped it on with black tape. Well, the blanks in the gun, when she fired it at the Astro Zombies in a close-up, it blew the it blew the silencer into pieces, and it dangled on the end of the pistol in her hand. And so she tried to keep a straight face, and then she looked up with her eyes and then a smile, and then we all laughed, and she broke. But those are the kind of things that instead of being angry or upset about it, we all made it, and she led it, we all had a big laugh about it, that the pistol blew apart in her hand, stuff like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the way it should be, too.
Yes, it should be. Making movies should be fun for everyone involved. No one should ever be remanded. No one ever should be put down. Nobody should ever have any negative comments. It just destroys me when I hear any negative comments about any movie, because it's just the blood and sweat and tears and guts and intros and money that goes into these things, and then somebody who thinks they know it all, they've seen all the four movies in their tender age, you know, they seem to think they have the ability to tell the world, you know, what the movie is. Let the world see it for themselves. Give these people credit, you know, that make them.
I agree with that. Now, Jade, you know, I was trying to coordinate everything with your mom to be on the show Night Watch, which is a show I do on Tuesdays, and we had pretty much got it all set up. And she was just so busy going around the country that we were just having a hard time with that schedule. Now, did you get to travel with her when she went around the country? And how many appearances had she been doing? She said she was so busy with all these conventions. Was that something she was really enjoying?
I think it was 1998, it was when she started going on the convention tours, when, you know, she got in touch with whomever, her manager, whomever that was getting her on these autograph signings. And, I mean, I think that there was Suzanne.
Suzanne Perry has been a marvelous additive to tourist reputation, her recognition. Suzanne Perra has been so good for tour and put her in the places where she needed to be and
kept her
out of places where she shouldn't have been, which is good.
As I was saying, she would, I think there was a time there where I think I only saw her maybe 1 or 2 months out of a year because she was, you know, going around. I only went to one of her autograph signing shows. My sister went to a couple with her this last year, I believe.
Here at Kalani, and your mom were here at the premiere of my last one, Astro Zombie M3 Cloned, and they made it here. We had a marvelous visit, and I'm getting hundreds and hundreds of emails from people who are mentioning how nice it was to meet Tora in person, what a nice person she was, and how they had a nice visit with her at our premiere at the Palms. That was only, 10 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that, or less.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. No, it is less. That's right. It was, maybe 6 months. So anyway, all the emails keep coming, how much of a delight it was to meet her at this show or that show, and she enjoyed them, no question about it.
That's true. So, yeah, unfortunately, she was really busy, you know, right up to the end there. And unfortunately, she didn't get a chance to be on your show, but I know she would have loved it. She loved talking to her fans. She loved giving interviews.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what she had said.
Yeah, she was always great with the fans. I remember when she first came out to Jersey, it was like her line was so long, we actually had to cap it off. I think that's when she first started doing the stuff. I'm trying to think. When do you say she started? 93?
98, I believe 98. It was. Maybe earlier.
Might have been earlier. Because I think she came out with you,
earlier,
Ted.
We were there together on a number of occasions. And then, Jade, you attended one where your mom was there in Hollywood. I can't remember when that was. Was it Fangoria? You were there.
You know, I am not actually sure, but I know, yes, I was at one there in Hollywood. It was you, our kitten, and mom, and Haji, and a couple other people. And it was just like mom was having a grand old time.
Yes, she was.
Holding court, as she usually does.
Yeah, it was a fun one. What's the name of the other girl that with Haji and your mom?
Lori Williams?
Yeah, yeah. I had met her in the 50s when I was casting for Strike Me Deadly and put Janine Riley in the movie and who got the part of Billy Joe in Petticoat Junction after being in Strike Me Deadly. But anyway, I had met her then, and then to see these years later, she was in with Tura in the movies and was at that convention in Hollywood at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't think it was here either, Jade.
That was an anniversary tour of Pussycat, I think.
Yeah. It might have been.
Well, I do know that Eric Caden put it on because Liz Renee was there, and Liz, of course, had just been in my Corpse Grinders 2, and what else was she in? She was in Dimension and Fear for me and so on, but she was also at that same convention, as was the woman who in her younger days was known as Vampyra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mally and Nermy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was there also at that same show where you were there, Jade, and your mom, and Kalani, I think, was also there. Was she not, or do you recall?
I don't think she was at that one.
I think
I don't,
she was.
I don't recall her being there.
Yeah, I don't either, but I do remember you very well because we had nice words, a nice meeting afterwards, nice conversation.
Jade, did your mom keep in touch with her co-stars from Faster Pussycat through the years, or was that kind of the first time, that reunion, that they had kind of seen each other for a while?
You know, it was actually the very first time, the reunion, because I know that she had lost touch with them, and she mentioned, I think it was last year or the year before, that she had met up with Dennis Birch again, who was the vegetable in Faster Pussycat. And she was just thrilled that, you know, that they found each other again. And they would converse on the internet afterward. But prior to that, she didn't keep in touch with anyone because they just lost each other. But thank God for this wonderful, you know, age of internet and computers. You can find whomever you'd pretty much want to find.
That's true. For better or worse, sometimes.
That's true also. But, you know, she was just thrilled to be able to, you know, reminisce with them on her autograph signings when they were together. It was just a really good time for her.
You know, I always thought they needed to make Tura Sitana action figures. I think that needs to happen now for sure.
With the little lever in the back so the arm can karate chop?
That's right, karate chop action. And I'm sure she would love that. She would probably think that was great.
She would.
Well,
you know,
they started the comic book too. I don't know what happened to that, but I did receive one that she sent to me that somebody was making, and it was a good comic book. I don't know whatever happened to that.
Oh,
you
just
know,
that
Jake?
One that I'm aware of.
Yeah, just one, and I think one issue, but it was a full size comic book, meaning many pages of action and so on, featuring Turok.
Right.
So I don't know what happened to it. Interesting.
And then she just did that. She just did that Rob Zombie, the Haunted World of El Super Beasto. She did a voice for that cartoon for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very short and sweet, but you know, she loved doing it.
And there was another movie she was a part of that I saw. That she'd sent me a little clip of from YouTube or somewhere that was seemed like kind of a throwback to the tough days. You know, she was kind of talking tough in there. They did a little trailer. What's going on with that?
I know. Sugar Box.
Yeah, Sugar Box. That was on.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw it was on pay-per-view, but I'm ready for the DVD. Where's that at?
I really don't know, to tell you the truth. I know that they actually played it on Showtime.
Yeah.
The cable network. But I haven't seen a video, a DVD.
Especially
but
Quentin Tarantino got word to me one time he'd give a year of his life to have one to work in the same movie with Tura, and so I had told him, well, you take care of all the costs and I'll bring her to Hollywood because we were going to meet too, and I'll bring her with me. But that didn't come off. But he said the inspiration that he got for Kill Bill was from the Dow Squad.
Yep.
Which is interesting. Interesting. And he stated that and printed it that that's what gave him the inspiration.
Didn't that inspire Charlie's Angels, too?
Well, Tura was one who was very angry that I didn't proceed and take any action against the people that came out with Charlie's Angels 4 years. But Tura was the one who invited the gentleman to the screening. And then 4 years later, he comes out with the Charlie's Angels, uses the same girls' names, and use Sabrina and other people, even Francine York in the last month has said anytime she shows the Doll Squad to anyone, they say, oh, that's Charlie's Angels. And she says, no, that's like the Doll Squad. Anyways, it was the forerunner of it, and I'm sure, because they did attend my screening at 20th Century Fox, and that time later, out it came. But, you know, people that asked me to do something about it, I said, no, why? I can dream up a new movie as fast as I can snap my fingers. But, of course, there aren't that many people who can fill the bill that Tura did and so on like that. But anyway.
Well, I was really surprised when I saw the trailer how she just fell right back into that part so well. I mean, it was just like there was like no time that passed. You know, it was like a blink of an eye. And here she was from Faster Pussycat to this Sugar Box. And I was like, holy cow, you know, that's the thing I loved about her is the fact that she was timeless like that. And it didn't matter to her. You know, things like getting older didn't seem to matter. She was in her own time warp, it seemed like. She was this like one of a kind. And man, you know, there's so many of us that look up to her to this day, and there's so many talentless people out there that you see on theater screens all over this country, and we need Tura Sultana. That's the thing. We needed her, and that's why this was a particular blow to me, not only on a personal level because I always looked up to her so highly, but also on a personal level when you know, I got to have some correspondence with her and I saw what an open and kind person she was and how she was so willing to email with me back and forth, this crazy, you know, goofy fanboy radio show host, but she didn't care. She, you know, she was just so awesome. That's what I thought. Yeah, you know, it just frustrates me. I remember writing to her when I got my Tura Sultana lunchbox because they have the Faster Pussycat lunchboxes. And I remember just going crazy, and she just thought that was funny that I, you know, she's on a thermos.
Well, I think Suzanne may have been responsible for some of that stuff. Do you not, Jade?
I believe so.
Suzanne. I thought she had opened some doors for Tura
God bless Suzanne.
God bless her.
You know, they on Mom's website on TuraSultana.com, they had a store. I don't know that the store is open anymore, but they had, you know, statues and T-shirts and lunch boxes and the comic books, and you could buy the DVDs from there. So, I mean, there's so much stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Everybody, we've got a caller here. You're on live with Ted V. Michaels, 42nd Street Pete, and of course Jade, Tura Sultana's daughter. Go ahead and say hello.
Hey guys, greetings from South Korea. This is Tim.
Hi,
hey,
Tim.
I just wanted to, good Lord.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to really give you my condolences, Jade, and just tell you what a wonderful, wonderful woman your mother was. I got lucky enough to correspond with your mom in the last couple of years. And funny enough, we mainly just talked about our dogs.
That is awesome.
We just talked about, you know, the way Tura was. She seemed to me like she cared more about her animals than she did about anybody else.
You know, it's possible, but no, Mom had a big heart, and she loved the animals, and she loved, you know, she just loved people. She loved everybody.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And she talked about, if I can remember, I mean, with my memory, she talked about, you know, the fact that her husband was a police officer.
Yes.
Yeah, and she talked about how much she really missed him and all the time. And she said something also about him going with her to many of the conventions as well.
When he wasn't working, he did accompany her, yes.
Right, right, right. And she just talked about, you know, being with him all the time and the happiness that it really brought, you know. So I thought that was awesome. I mean, and like you said, you know, like your mom, she was so warm with everybody. And Pete, like, I have to totally agree with you 100%, you know. And I was saying earlier that She drew the line, man. That's it. You know, I mean, she stepped up to the plate. And to me, she, you know, in a lot of ways, she was like Bruce Lee, where, you know, she was the first one. And the fact that, you know,
that was your quote. I stole it from you. You wrote that.
Yeah, man. But I mean, it's okay. That's fine. But I'm just saying that, you know, she's like Bruce Lee to me, like where she just stepped up. She was the first one. And she was saying, I'm not going to wait for everybody to recognize me. I'm going to be recognized on my own and on my own time. You know, I'm not going to sit and wait. And you know, she really did it for everyone.
You know what's
But anyway,
funny,
I just found... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, talk about her martial arts and so on. When we did Doll Squad, we didn't have stuntmen. We had only one guy, and we had an army of 40 guys all wanted to be around the girls. in the doll squad, because there was a bunch of them, and so guys came, and Tora was trying to do some of her martial arts against these guys, and it was so unbelievable that I, even though I was directing, I'd jump into the uniform, and she'd do it with me, and I'd take the falls, and that was funny, come to think of it, and they're still in the movie, where all of a sudden I was substitute for one of the guys who got was shoved around by her with her jiu-jitsu and martial arts. And it was me. That's funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But I mean, I was trying to say that I don't mean she was like Bruce in the sense of the martial arts, but in the sense of, you know, they both came around at a time where I think a lot of people wanted to hold them back, like you were saying, Ted, you know, because of the personality and the character. And they weren't willing to be held back. They said, no, to hell with that. We're, you know, we're going forward. You know, it's like we're here now. We're going to be recognized, and that's that. And,
well,
you know, like
you know,
I said, you know,
we mixed the audio Doll Squad, and I was in one of the studios in Hollywood, and you were paying, you know, $600-700 an hour for three mixers. And I say, stop, back up. When Turo's a punch or any of these girls do that, I want to hear it. Now, this was before Bruce Lee had hit the country here. And they're saying, but you're already peaking the audio. You're almost at peak. I said, then crack it over the top. I want to hear him. And I had to fight for the sound effects all the way through, the kicks and the punches. And now when you watch your martial arts, they're loaded with those sounds.
Right.
And at that time, the audio people didn't even want to do it because they thought it was overboard.
Right.
And I said, if I had it to do over, I would have even pushed it further.
Right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys go, but I just wanted to give my condolences and just say that we all loved your mom and that she was just a wonderful, wonderful person. And, I mean, she just did so much. I mean, you know, she really didn't have that wide range for her films, but her influence is, you know, eternal. She's going to be known forever. I mean, she was, you know, Shakespeare, Edgar Allan Poe, there's few people that really are able to attain that kind of, you know, cult immortality and status, and I think your mom is one of them.
Well, thank you so much for that verbal tribute. She would be very honored. And,
yes.
I
she
know
will
that
live forever. She will live forever in the movies, no question.
And, you know, in honor, you know, my daughter, who's 12, she just, what, last year, a year before, my mom got to see her earn her black belt in Taekwondo.
You know, Tora told me that. Tora said, you're going to put my granddaughter in one of your movies now. She's 12 and got a black belt. She told me that. I remember that now.
That's awesome.
So thank you for the tribute to my mother. That's just, it's really touching and heartwarming, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Jade, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
You have a great night.
Right.
You
yeah,
too.
Thanks again for coming on, and you know, best wishes.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Wow. That's something else, Pete.
Yeah.
There's so many people out there.
When I think about knowing her father, her mother, her sisters, all of them, her brother Pete, and of course Kalani and Jade and so on, it's a family that I knew very well, and especially when you think back of her father and her mother, you know, I knew, and especially her mother, because her father passed away not long after, I believe it was not long after the Astro Zombies, and he passed, and I happened to be with her in the hospital as he was passing. So, a lot of memories there of that family. That's when you see the other side of Tora, when she was not being the Varla character. She was being a very sensitive, very loving, caring woman.
Well, I don't know what else to say. It's, you know, it's been really moving here tonight. And Ted, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your reminiscences and thoughts as well. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And to Jade, thank you very much for calling in. And Tim and all you guys who tuned in, you know, she was a legend. But like Ted says, you know, she lives on through her work and, you know, through who she was. And with that being said, I'm not going to end it in my usual way, but Ted, you say goodnight.
Well, good night, everybody. And I know none of us will ever forget Tora. We'll miss her forever. Bye-bye now.
42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM. Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, why, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me. Bobby, will you give it to me?
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.
Everything you'll ever be.
People equal shit.